Haven, I know the hours of the late. May I have 35 minutes? Okay, I want 50, but I'll take 35. All right, just set me for 35. And when it gets to 35, I'm going to stop. So if it's an abrupt end, it's going to be an abrupt end. And you need to start coming on Wednesday evenings anyway. You know, but I'm not going to give up any of my time doing this. But we're going to talk about the growth plate. Say the growth plate. All right. Would you go to John 3:16-17? I'm going to share that in the voice translation because that's our jump off point. And then we're going to go to Matthew 13. John 3:16 says, "For God expressed his love for the world in this way. He gave his only son so that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So that whoever believes in him will not face everlasting destruction, but will have everlasting life. Here's the point. God didn't send his son into the world to judge it. Instead, he is here to rescue a world headed towards certain destruction. And we need to understand, as I've been saying, we are what? Rescue workers. Say, I'm a rescue worker. And rescue workers never take, they don't question the person as to what they did that got them in that position. They just saved their life. All right? But in Matthew 13, this is the New International Version, Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and, you know, he taught them things in parables. And it starts off in verse 24. It says, Jesus told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?' 'An enemy did this,' he replied. The servants asked, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' 'No,' he answered, 'because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Question, what type of seed was planted? Good seed. Where did the weeds come from? Why was the enemy able to come? Folks were asleep. Folks weren't paying attention. And why didn't they remove the weeds as soon as they appeared? The fruit from the good seed could have been damaged. So what do? You let them both grow together. This says until the harvest, you could say for a specified period of time. Because when the time is right, a separation can occur and the fruit is not injured or damaged. And I was wondering about that. And the first thing I wanted to find out is, okay, what are you talking about, Bible, when you say growth? And I looked in the concordance and I read several online dictionaries, as I generally do. And basically, growth means increase. You read all of those things, it'll say increase. But I want to highlight the scientific definition of growth. It says an increase in the size of an organism or part of an organism, usually as a result of an increase in the number of cells. Growth of an organism may stop at maturity, as in the case of humans and other mammals, or it may continue throughout life, as in many plants. In humans, listen to this, certain body parts, like hair and nails, continue to grow throughout life. So that in the natural, we have certain parts that will just keep on growing that are supposed to. There's some other parts that grow and are not supposed to. But, okay. But the scripture said, let both grow how? Together. So I'm thinking if both can grow together, okay, how is that a solution? I still have weeds. Then I start saying, well, okay, what's a weed? All right. Not something that you smoke, although it could be. All right. But it did not, when I looked up the definitions for weed, it did not specify a specific plant or a specific species of plant. But what it did do was describe some characteristics. It said a weed is a valueless plant growing wild. Especially one that grows on cultivated ground to the exclusion or injury of the desired crop. A weed is any undesirable or troublesome plant, especially one that grows profusely where it's not wanted. So really what you can say is anything planted where it shouldn't be is considered a weed. You can have a beautiful rose bush appear in the middle of your vegetable garden. That rose bush is a weed. It doesn't belong there. And the biggest issue concerning weeds is that it takes nutrients out of the ground that were intended for something else. I want you to remember that. See, that's like somebody bringing their entire family, all of their relatives into your home uninvited and eats all your food. Okay. They weeds. Okay. You didn't invite them. They're not supposed to be there. Okay. They're not supposed to be there. But I noticed something interesting in Matthew 13, 26. It says, when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds appeared. As I was meditating on that, what I got was, as soon as the seeds show its potential, something comes with the intent to stifle it. As soon as the seeds come. Now, you need to understand that when in the parables, when Jesus is talking about the seed is the word of God. So when the word of God in you begins to show fruit, weeds show up to stifle that fruit, and we want to immediately start ripping things apart. Be patient. Be patient. I found out that growth takes care of a number of things. Do you ever know what I'm talking about when I say I got an HGR? Do you remember what that is? Holy Ghost revelation. Okay. I'll be sitting down thinking of something and all of a sudden, boom, this will come in and it'll come the way I've never looked at it before. The sower allowed both the fruit of the seed and the weeds to grow together because the sower knew four things about the fruit that would spring forth from the seed sown. Listen to this. The fruit of the seed is much stronger than the weeds. The fruit of the seed has the ability to endure. The fruit of the seed has the strength to maintain its identity, even if it's surrounded by weeds. And I like this last one. The fruit of the seed has the ability to sustain itself, even though the weeds tapped into its resources. You need to think about that. We get so upset when the weed shows up and attacks our finances. But if we, and I'm a little ahead of myself, but that's okay because we're on a faster time frame. But we have the word of God growing inside of us. And one of those words is, my God shall supply all my need. And it doesn't say unless there are weeds that show up. That's why growth is important. He said, let both grow together. See, as believers, we're guilty of trying to maintain a sterile environment. Anything that even gives the hint of not being right, we want to rip it right out. We don't want our children to go through anything. We don't want to go through anything. No, we have to learn that we have to let things grow, because as we grow, how to separate, that knowledge of how to separate, we will learn. We'll learn how to detangle so that when separation occurs, we are not damaged. But we have to realize we don't live in a sterile environment. We have to grow, gain strength, and know how to separate ourselves from things that are right and things that are not right. Okay? Now, remember the definition I gave you, the scientific definition for growth, that certain parts of the body continue to grow throughout life. In the same manner, while the spiritual growth process in our natural bodies may mature and stop, spiritually, God's expectation is that we grow and continue to grow throughout our human life. And we don't just, it doesn't just benefit us, it will be a benefit to the entire world. Turn to, please, Mark 4. Our growth is intended to be beneficial to the world, not just to us. In Mark 4, verse 30 to 33, King James Version, Jesus said, "Whereunto shall we take the kingdom of God? Or what is the comparison? Shall we compare it?" Verse 31, "It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becomes greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." Even though that seed is the smallest of all seed, it grows to be the biggest of all big. And just the shadow provides for creation. Well, that's not just talking about birds. Move ahead to Acts 5. I want to share this out of the Living Bible, beginning at verse 14. It reads, "And more believers were added to the Lord, both crowds both of men and women. Sick people were brought out into the street on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow would fall across some of them as he went by. The crowds came in from the Jerusalem suburbs, bringing their sick folk and those possessed by demons, and every one of them was healed because the shadow of Peter passed over them. Why? Because the seed that was planted in Peter grew. It grew. See, when Peter grew, the kingdom grew. His first sermon netted 3,000 converts. 3,000. His shadow brought healing to the people. If Peter doesn't grow, this doesn't happen. But we need to consider something. Jesus never cut Peter off. He refused to let go of Peter's potential. He knew Peter was going to lose faith. He knew Peter was going to deny him. But he knew that the seed that was planted in Peter would grow, and that nothing, none of the weeds that the enemy could come up with could do anything to stop the growth of that seed. So you just need to leave it alone and let growth do what growth is designed to do. Jesus knew that the seed is stronger. The fruit of the seed is stronger. He knew that the fruit of the seed has the ability to endure. He knew the fruit of the seed has the strength to maintain its identity, even when it's surrounded by the adversary. He knew it. See, I'm not as concerned anymore about, I used to be concerned about the things facing our young people. I'm not as concerned anymore. What I'm concerned about now is helping them grow. Because as they grow, they will see the difference. And they will know what they have to cut off or separate from. They'll know. We have to trust the seed that's been planted in them. We have to trust the seed that's been planted in us. We have to trust the truth that the sower knew what he was doing when he did it. As believers, I said, we're expected to grow. Look at Matthew 5. I'm going to share this out of the Message Bible. And I'll start at verse 47. Reed, you're familiar with the old written law, love your friend and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer, for then you are working out your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is grow up. Grow up. Your kingdom subjects now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others the way God created you. And Luke 2, talking about the baby Jesus, says the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. As you grow, your spirit becomes stronger and your wisdom increases. When your wisdom increases, you know this is right, this is wrong. Your spirits become strong. We're not doing this. We're not doing this. And your flesh is going to follow the strongest power source. We need to know that. That's when folks are like, you know, I can't help it. My flesh. No, your flesh is going to give in to the most powerful source in your body. And if it's the Spirit of God, your flesh is going to have to comply with it. If it's your human emotion, your flesh is going to comply with it. Whatever is stronger, whatever you feed, whatever you feed, because it's going to get strength, it's going to get nourished by being fed. Well, just like we do. We go around without eating, we get weak. Let me get back to my place. This is where I miss. Now you think about this. Because if we understand growth is the key, then the question is, how does one grow? You can't see growth. Has anybody ever looked in the mirror and said, hey, I'm growing. I just saw me move a centimeter. No. If you did, you'd probably pass out. Okay. But you can't see growth. What you can see is the effect of growth or the result of growth. All of a sudden you notice you're walking through 3 inches of water and your pants legs are not wet. Okay? Because you grew. You grew. You just notice things. You look and I'm taller. When did this happen? My brother went from 5'11 to 6'5 over a summer. He wasn't standing there and we saw him just. No, we're looking like, I was walking next to him. I'm like, whoa, we're eye to eye. When did that happen? Okay. He just grew. See, what happens, folks, I'm not going to get technical because I haven't gone to med school, but in our skeletal system, we have long bones. And on the on on the ends, both ends of those long bones, there's an epiphyseal plate that's more commonly known as the growth plate. The growth plate. It's at the end of long bones of children and adolescents, and these bones contain rapidly dividing cells that allow bones to become longer, and it keeps going like that usually to the end of puberty. Now, the growth plate over time thins out because it gets to the point where it says, okay, this body doesn't need to grow anymore. Okay. And so that seal line becomes ineffective. But listen to this. Structurally, the growth plate is very fragile. And if it gets fractured, it can stunt one's growth. I remember, a matter of fact, it was Dr. Connie's grandson was out in the playground. He was on the bars and he fell, broke his arm. So we went to the hospital and the orthopedist was concerned that the fracture would affect his growth plate. And of course, we prayed and found that it didn't affect his growth plate, because if the growth plate is affected, it stunts your growth. That means you could have one arm regular size, another arm can be shorter, because something happened and it affected the growth plate, which affected the overall growth of that limb, of that extremity, of that body. See, what happens is that within those cells, it's like a construction site where it's constantly reproducing and becoming a part of the bone. So you have both. If you picture, glad these were up here. You know, if this is the bone, and those cells start working, all of a sudden that bone is just going like this. You know, you don't see it, you don't feel it, but it's happening because new cells are being added, so it keeps growing. And you see the result of that growth. Well, spiritually, the same thing should happen. We need to have a healthy spiritual growth plate so that we continue to grow. And while we don't see ourselves growing, we see and experience the results of that growth. In 2 Corinthians, it says, if any man, in 2 Corinthians 5, very familiar passage, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So when we received Christ, we became new creatures. But just like with the physical body, this new creature has a growth plate, because it has to be allowed to grow. And for us, the spiritual growth plate is the Word of God. That has to be in place. It's been placed in every believer. When you said, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior, you got that growth plate in. Now it's your responsibility to let it do what it was put there to do. Here's a clue. 1 Peter 2. Verse 2. 2 and 3. King James Version. Laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, meaning so that you can grow because you're consuming the pure milk of the word. If indeed you have tasted the Lord is gracious. See, our growth is based on our desire for the word. I should say fulfilling our desire for the word. Because the more word you take in, the greater the spiritual growth. The more word you take in, the greater the spiritual growth, the easier it becomes to separate yourself from the weeds that show up. And you don't become damaged. See, there are too many emotional scars among believers because we allowed ourselves to get entangled with weeds. And the problem is we didn't recognize them as weeds, and sometimes we gave our heart to them and then got abused. and we get hurt. And we stop growing spiritually because now that growth plate has been shattered. Because like, God, I thought this was you. Well, you needed more growth. That's why we tell folks, just don't be in a hurry. Take your time. Continue feeding on the word. Because as you grow in wisdom and understanding and strength, you will see the difference. And you'll know this is a weed. This shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be connected to this. I'm unequally yoked. And you'll know how to separate yourself without being damaged. Because that's the key. God wants us to separate, but he doesn't want us to be damaged in the process. That's why I told them. They were ready. They said, weeds, let's pull them all out. Whoa, wait a minute. You start pulling out, somewhere along the line, you're going to grab. And you said, well, you know, may have to sacrifice a few good ones. No, God doesn't want anybody to be lost. Anybody. And we have to understand that. Look at Psalm 92. I'm going to share this out of the Amplified Bible. Because this is letting us know that there's a choice that we need to make if we're going to allow our spiritual growth plate to do what it was put in us to do. It says, the uncompromisingly righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, be long-lived, stately, upright, useful, and fruitful. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic, stable, durable, and incorruptible. That's how we're supposed to grow. We're supposed to grow majestic and stable, durable, and incorruptible. We keep growing no matter what's going on around us because we don't give in to malice, deceit, envy, strife, or any of that other stuff that damaged the growth plate. 1 Corinthians 3 in the Message Bible, begin with verse 5, says, who do you think Paul is anyway? Or Apollos for that matter? Servants, both of us, servants who waited on you, gradually learned to entrust your lives to our mutual master. We each carried out our servant assignment. I planted the seed, Apollos watered the plants. But this is the way the Message Bible says it. But God made you grow. God is the one that makes us grow, but the seed has to be planted and the seed has to be tended to. Remember, it said Paul planted, Apollos watered. Apollos didn't plant, Apollos watered. He watered that seed and God caused it to grow. How could God cause it to grow? Everybody else did their part. Everything was put in place so that God could cause the growth that he desires in each and every one of us. God is at the center of this thing, and we grow on every word of God. In John 15, we know Jesus said, I am the true vine. And we're to stay connected to him because that's what gives our growth plate the energy that it and the life that it needs. We have to stay connected. He said, apart from me, you can't do anything. Apart from me, there's no growth. Apart from me, the weeds will take over. Apart from me, you won't even recognize the weeds when they show up. We have to stay connected. We have to stay in the vine. We have to, as Jesus puts it here, we have to abide in him, and we have to allow his word to abide in us. We cannot do this alone. But God gave us even more than that. Because he said, you're not going to understand everything that I say. So I'm going to give you some gifts. He said, I'm going to give you some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers so that you can be perfected. That's what Jesus said. he was for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, and he has a purpose for that. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Think about how a person will conduct themselves if they are full of Christ. He gave gifts to help that come to being. And he's telling us, again, why he did all of that. That we be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, or being overwhelmed by every weed that shows up. Because they come by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So they come with the express purpose of deceiving. But after you have submitted yourselves to the gifts that God gave, you'll be in a position where you can speak the truth in love and grow up into him in all things. That means in every area of our lives, we can grow up. Every area. First Peter says we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. How? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, earlier, you know, I said that, you know, when as soon as the seed showed its potential, the weeds showed up. When you think about it, when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended from heaven and landed on him. It says, like a dove. It wasn't a dove, but it was like what a dove does. He said, but a voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved son. The next thing that happens, Jesus is 40 days in the desert. And weeds are talking to him. Why? Because the devil wanted to destroy something before it happened. So as soon as he had the glimpse, okay, Jesus, he's intending to do this thing. God said he's pleased. I got to do something about that. When Peter received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking other tongues and went out, as I said earlier, and he preached to the people, 3,000 got saved. Then he's on his way to the temple to pray, and they pass by the lame man, and they get him healed. Weeds showed up because they did not want this new way to prosper. They didn't want people to be in Christ. They wanted to stick with the law. So they came, and the weeds threatened them. And the Bible says they were further threatened and severely threatened. They ain't paying attention to it. What? They knew that their fruit was stronger than the weeds. They knew that the fruit of the seed that was put in them would endure. They knew that it would be sustained even though something else is trying to tap into its resources. So they weren't concerned about that. They understood because they had grown, they knew who they were. They knew what was available to them, and they weren't going to compromise. I have to kick into overdrive. Here. Okay. Folks, weeds are always going to show up, and we have to stop overreacting to these weeds and just allow the growth plate to do what it was designed to do. The growth process will take care of any weeds that show up in your life. You just have to let the process continue. Say, I don't, it seems like it's getting better. What you have is always going to be bigger and stronger and last longer than anything that the devil can bring. And if you will just be patient, you will get to the point and God will show you how to unravel the mess and you'll go on and continue. But we're much stronger. And we have the ability to be sustained even though weeds tap into our resources. Okay. We have unlimited resources. So even if they tapped into it, they can't stop them. What's ours is always going to be ours. Like Pastor Sarah shared once, it's just like that carousel in the airline. Your bags are on and nobody else can take your, legally take your bags. And if you don't show up in time, they'll take it off and put it to the side. It's going to be there waiting for you. Nobody can take it. Nobody. So understand something. God sowed into us some fantastic supernatural seed. And yeah, sometimes we may not be paying attention like we should. And the enemy comes in, he's going to throw weeds along. That's okay. You keep growing. And as a result of your growth, you will see this is a weed, this is how to fix it, and life will just keep going on. I'm done. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Thank you, Lord. You remember, folks, we were created to grow. To grow. Just to grow. Spiritually. And we're going to keep growing. You know, spiritually, we're like fingernails, you know, in the human body. You know, they just keep growing. Hair, for most of you, just keeps growing. Okay. It even keeps growing for me. But everyone say, I have within me the seed, which is the word of God, that God himself placed in me. That seed will produce fruit. And the fruit of that seed will always be greater than any weed that the devil can come up with. Amen. High five your neighbor.